The sermon for today, morning, Lord's table, and at night, is on that little passage, verse 8. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And we looked at really it in three parts. So it was not you. Then secondly, who was not here. And tonight we're going to be looking at those two so important words, the most important words in the whole of the Bible, but God. But God. This morning we're looking at the life of Joseph, and as we'd said, after all that Joseph had gone through, the journey that he had gone through, the trials and tribulations in the pit, in the prison, and then in the palace, he is confronted by his brothers, and his brothers, who are grieved and distressed, Joseph says to them, don't grieve, don't worry, because it is not you who sent me here, but God. Joseph is declaring the sovereignty of God. It was not you, first of all, we looked at. It would seem that man influenced the course of Joseph's life. The brothers, the Midianites, Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, the prison officer, the fellow inmate, Pharaoh, all of these people seemingly influenced in the course and direction of Joseph's life. And yet, Joseph declares in this verse, it is not to do with man that I am here. It is not to do with man's actions and man's agenda that I find myself in Egypt. I am here, not because of you, brothers, but because of another. And we're reminded this morning that even though it seems as if where we are is because of others, wherever you are this morning, whether it's in the pit or the prison or the palace, where you are is because that's where God wants you to be right now. You're in this church because that's where God wants you to be. You're in that relationship because that's where God wants you to be. You're in that business because that's where God wants you to be. You're in that employment, as difficult as it may well be, that's where God wants you to be. You in the pit, perhaps, in isolation, where you are alone and where you are helpless. Maybe that's where you feel you are tonight. That's where God wants you to be. Maybe in the prison, struggling with the challenges of this world. That's where God wants you to be. Maybe the palace, where you're greatly blessed, materially, spiritually. You're on a high. Praise the Lord. But that's where God wants you to be. And what do when we find ourselves there? We don't give credit to man. We give credit to God and God alone. And we praise Him. But I know those challenges, as we talked about this morning, with intimate and gruesome experience, I know what it's like, as you do, what it's like to be in that pit and what it's like to be in that prison. What it is like to go through the trials and testings of the Christian journey. It is not easy. So what do when we find ourselves in difficult and challenging times? We do what Psalm 62 reminded us this morning, is to trust in the Lord at all times. Trust in Him. Trust in what? Trust that He is sovereign. Trust that He is in control. Trust that He has a perfect plan for our lives. And serve. Serve Him with all our heart, no matter where you find yourself, in all the ways that God has gifted you, because He has gifted each and every one of you. He saved you not just to get you out of going to hell. He saved you for a purpose, to serve Him in this world. That's why He saved you. Are you serving Him? Or are you stagnant? Have you stopped? I've been saved. I'm getting out of going to hell. That's me. And I live night life now as I please. No. The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life for you for the purpose of saving you, for the purpose of sanctifying you, for the purpose of glorifying you in glory. And His desire, His purpose is that in this world you will serve Him through so many ways, helping, giving, praying for others, encouraging others, preaching, teaching, practical works, mission, outreach. There are so many ways in which we can serve the Lord. But we're here to serve. Remember that. We're here to serve. And that is what we must do. That is what God is telling us to do. And that is what we must do. And secondly, we looked at the fact that who sent me here? Joseph was sent to Egypt. Why was he sent to Egypt? He was sent to Egypt. He had to go through that whole journey to give his brother's life. That was the why. Why do I have to go through all of this? This is the why, Joseph, because you're here to give life to the very ones who tried to take your life. And as we talked about this morning, the why can be very difficult to understand, can't it? Why am I facing this time of suffering? Why am I having to endure this in my life? The why, sometimes the specifics are not revealed to him. The story I told you this morning about Albert MacDonald at my father's funeral, sometimes we get little insights, but sometimes we don't get the specifics, but we do have the bigger picture. And Paul reminds us of that in Romans chapter 8, that all things work together for our good to those who love the Lord. All of it is for our good, to conform us unto the likeness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we come to our third and final part, last point for the evening. And it's these two words, but God. So it was not you, not to do with man, who sent me here to this place, but God. Those two words, but God. It is all about God. So naturally, we are given to our desire to, well, it was sort of me who did this, sort of me who did that. It was them who was involved. No, everything, it's all of God. All of God. Joseph had made it clear to his brothers, it's not about them. It was all of God's plans and purposes, where he was and the journey that he went on. And the same applies to you and me. And Joseph sees this in his life, not just in sending him to Egypt, but he looks back in his life, as we can too. And we can see God, and Joseph could see God. It was all of God, God gifting him. It wasn't Joseph's gifts, it was God had gifted him. God had saved him. God had protected Joseph. God had guided Joseph. God had directed Joseph. And when you look back in your life as a child of God, is that not what you see? God leading you, guiding you, directing you, protecting you, helping you, strengthening you. Just like Elijah, bringing people into your life to encourage you and help you. And all the blessings that the Lord has given you, this church, this fellowship, the ministry that you have benefited from this pulpit, Christian friends, Christian family, Christian influence, the freedom to worship, the freedom to evangelize, the freedom to declare your faith, food, drink, rain, sun, God has been so good and so gracious to us. He has loved us with an infinite love, an eternal love, a steadfast love that we can just praise and thank him for. And most of all, for sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, to pay for our sins in full on the cross. It's all of God and not of ourselves. And Joseph is declaring that. It's not me. It's all of God. And as I said, you know, sometimes it does seem that men have got the upper hand and they're setting the agenda. And no more so than in the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was going onto the cross. It seemed, did it not, that Herod and Pontius Pilate and the crowds, they seemed to be the ones setting the agenda, didn't they? When they were putting the Lord Jesus onto the cross, it seemed to be that Jesus was helpless and the people And Herod and Pontius Pilate, they were the ones who were setting the agenda. They were the ones in control. They were the ones who were setting the course of direction. How foolish they were. Because in Acts 4, verse 27, 29 says this. No need to turn to it, but would you hear this? Acts 4, verse 27 to 29, concerning people who brought the Lord Jesus onto the cross. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do, verse 28, to do what? What were all the people doing? Whatever your hand, God's hand, and your purpose determined before to be done. They were doing what God had planned and purposed before time even began. They thought it was their agenda. They thought it was their plans and their purposes. It wasn't. It was God's agenda. He planned to send a Savior. Do you remember in Genesis 3 and verse 15, where we taught that the proto-gospel, where it talks about the seed, where God promises that the seed will crush the serpent? A Savior. I will find, I will give you a way back, man. Your relationship with me is broken, it's destroyed. You now are dead spiritually, but I will send a Savior. I will send a Redeemer. I promise you I will. And he delivered that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was all planned. And what man meant it for evil in sending Jesus onto the cross, God meant for good. God meant for your good, my good, and the good of the world. Man meant it for evil. God meant it for good. What was the good? Our salvation. Our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ going onto the cross to pay for our sins in full. It is all of God and not of ourselves. It is all about him, but God. Powerful two words. Paul talks about the but God in Ephesians. He reminds the Ephesian believers, and I think we need to be reminded from time to time, and certainly I need to be reminded time to time, of the greatness of my salvation. And to be reminded of the greatness of salvation, sometimes we need to be taken back. Just like the testimony we've just heard, sometimes we need to be taken back to the time when we were outside of Christ and what it was like then to really appreciate what it's like now that we're saved. Let's take ourselves back for a while before we were Christians to fully appreciate what we are now as believers in Christ. And Paul does that with the people of Ephesus. In Ephesians 2, he said, "You were once dead in trespasses and iniquity." You were dead. You were dead spiritually. You were completely incapable of loving, turning to the Lord. You were dead. And you once, Paul says, walked according to the course of this world. All of us walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the spirit of error, the one who works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. That's what Paul says. This is what you once were. You were under the wrath of God. You were under the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And we all, me included, Paul's saying, had our conversation in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. That's what we once were. And then he says in verse 4, but God. Not but God and man's actions, but God. God in his grace and in his mercy, saving us and bringing us to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. My salvation, your salvation, is all the sovereign work of God. It is all his purposes, it is all his plans. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says this. Paul says this to the church at Ephesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. All the glory must go, can only go to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul reminds the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, he says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Whatever I am, it is by the grace of God. Whatever you are is by the grace of God. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. It's all of God. Sometimes maybe you're feeling discouraged tonight. You've looked at your works. You've looked at your heart and you're in despair. The song tells us, doesn't he? Satan tempts us to despair. We look at our guilt, we look at our life. And I was often said, you know, whenever you look at your life and are tempted to despair and guilt and grow weary and even lack assurance, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and look at the cross and see that it has all been done for you on the cross at Calvary. Praise the Lord. It's all been done by our Lord and Savior on the cross at Calvary. You know, the story of Joseph, to really fully appreciate the whole story of Joseph, we need to look at what the story of Joseph points us to. The story of Joseph points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph points us to Lord Jesus Christ. And how does that happen? Well, if you look at the parallels, Joseph, when he was, when we started the story of Joseph, he's living in obscurity, looking after the sheep. He's in a humble job, carrying out a humble work. And that points to the Lord Jesus Christ, who in this world had a humble beginnings and involved in a humble work. He was the son of a carpenter. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't given a crown. He lived a humble life. Joseph was rejected by his own. The brothers rejected him. Brothers got rid of him. Brothers wanted nothing to do with him. And in a greater way, the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected by his own, and his own received him not. So Lord Jesus, and we rejected him. We would have done the same. We rejected him. Joseph had to go through a life of trials and temptations and testing. And in an infinitely greater way, the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through trials and testing and great temptation. Remember the devil tempting him in the desert at his weakest point? The devil tempted him 3 times. And of course, throughout Jesus' life on earth, he was tempted in all ways as we were, yet without sin. But the temptation was real. And Jesus was tempted and tested and had to go through great trials in an infinitely greater way than Joseph did. But Joseph points to the one, a more perfect one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph, he had his triumphs. And the Lord Jesus Christ had the greatest triumph on the cross at Calvary, where he defeated sin, the devil, and death itself. Joseph wasn't sent by man, and Joseph makes that very clear. And Jesus was not sent by man. He was sent by God. God the Father sent him into this world to die for our sins, for a great purpose, which was our salvation. Joseph was sent by God, not by man, not by man's agenda, but by God for a great purpose. Joseph was sent to give life to his brothers. The Lord Jesus Christ was sent to give life to hell-deserving sinners like you and me. Joseph was to give life temporary to a small group of people. Jesus was there to give life eternal to countless millions. The Lord Jesus Christ, in an infinitely greater way, on the cross at Calvary, give life to you and to me. And tonight, I want to ask the question, do you know of this life that I'm talking about? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the life giver? And you might say, what is this? You keep on talking about life, Philip. Well, when sin entered into the world, man wasn't bruised. Man died spiritually. In other words, death, if you like, it really means separation. When sin entered into the world, when Adam disobeyed God, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered into the world, and man entered into a spiritually dead state. In other words, he was separated from God. And if you have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's the position that you're in. You are spiritually dead. You have no desire for the Lord. You have no interest in the Lord. You don't want to follow the Lord. You want to serve the Lord. And if you remain in that spiritually dead state, that spiritually dead state will lead to a lost eternity, a place of eternal death. That is the gospel message. That is the reality of where you stand if tonight you're outside of Christ. You might say, but I'm a good person. I will work my way to heaven. But the Bible, throughout the whole of Scripture, talks against salvation by works. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. It's all only and can only be through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in what? Faith in his finished work, that he paid for our sins in full on the cross, that he can give life, not just life temporary, but life eternal. So if you're outside of Christ tonight, if you haven't put your faith in him, let me tell you on the authority of Scripture, you're spiritually dead and you need life. You need life. You need to be restored to God. You have turned away from God. We call that sin. You have rebelled against God, of which I rebelled against God. Everyone in this room has rebelled against God. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We have all turned away from God. But you need to turn back to God. You need to be restored to God. You need to be given life. That is life eternal. And the only way you can find life eternal is not by going to the political leaders of this world, not by going to ideologies of this world or religions of this world or philosophies of the world. The only one who can give you life is Christ, because he secured that on the cross at Calvary. He is the life giver. He is the one who secured life, which is a full relationship with the living God, not just for a while, but for all eternity. It is not of works. It is by faith alone in one person, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross. And what he did on the cross was to give life, was to pay the penalty of our sins in full on the cross at Calvary. You might say, but Philip, what's this penalty for? Why did he have to pay a penalty? Because all of us have broken God's law. God has given us a law, and he is the righteous judge. And every one of us, we have to admit, we've all broken that law. And we don't expect anything different from any other judge. We expect every judge in this land to be just, to be righteous, don't we? That's what we expect. And God is the righteous judge. He's the greatest judge. And because we've broken the law, he must punish us. But instead, the Lord Jesus Christ took that punishment in our place. God the Father punished the Son in our place so that we'd be given life. Undeserving people like me would be given life eternal. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you don't know anything of what I'm talking about, if you do not know about life in Christ, I want to ask you, I want to urge you, I want to encourage you to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn away from the world and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to be your Savior. Ask him to give you life, to give you life eternal, and he will give it to you in an instant. I say that on the authority of the Word of God. And in that moment, you can know you're entered into a relationship with the living God. In that moment, you can know that your soul is now secure. Your soul is now looked after by a living God. You can know for a certainty that you will not face the wrath of God, but you will face the eternal love and grace of God in glory itself. But only if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph points us, is an imperfect type of pointing us to a perfect type. Joseph went through trials. Christ went through even greater trials. Joseph was rejected. The Lord Jesus was rejected in an even greater way. But with all of that, Joseph was there to give life to his brothers, and the Lord Jesus Christ was there on the cross to give life to you, to me, and to all those who would come. Maybe this evening you're feeling a little bit rejected. You're feeling isolated. You're feeling very much in the pit. Well, I want to encourage you tonight that Christ is in the business of saving the rejected and the friendless and those who are isolated. Maybe you feel tonight undeserving. Philip, if you only knew my life, you'd realize why I haven't become a Christian, because I don't feel I'm good enough. You've heard people say that before, I'm sure. You've maybe said it yourself. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve. Well, let me tell you, Christ is in the business of saving the undeserving, because everyone in this room is undeserving. Everyone in this room is unrighteous. Everyone in this room has sinned and disobeyed God, me more than any. But the Lord Jesus Christ, thank the Lord, is in the business of saving the undeserving. Joseph gave life to the undeserving, and in a greater way, the Lord Jesus Christ has given life to the undeserving. And maybe this evening, you're feeling lifeless. You're feeling that life has no purpose. You're feeling that life has got no direction. And let me tell you, that's how you will feel if you're not in Christ, if I can say that in love. So if you're feeling lifeless tonight, what is the purpose of life? Then Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is in the business of giving life to the lifeless. So I want to encourage you tonight, with all my heart, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who else do you want to turn to? Politicians? Leaders? Ideologies, religions, philosophies? Every single one of them have let us down, have they not? They all try to bring certainty, but they've all failed. Christ is the one who brings certainty, the certainty of life, the certainty of salvation, the certainty of a promised inheritance. And if we turn, if you turn to him tonight, you can know life, life eternal in Christ Jesus. So there it is tonight. Thank you for staying with me. Thank you for going on this journey of Joseph today. And I just pray that the Lord would encourage you as a believer, that wherever you find yourself, in the pit or the prison or the palace, you're there because God wants you to be there. Trust in him. He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. He'll give you everything that you need to get through the challenges of tomorrow. And I want to urge you to serve. Don't look back in your life and go, I wish I had served the Lord more. Serve him now. Serve him now with all passion and enthusiasm as you serve him. Why? We all ask why. But the why, God tells us the why. It is for your good. Not always easy to hear. I know that. I haven't found it easy to hear. You haven't found it easy to hear. But it is a truth to hold on to, that God is doing it for our good. For your good. For the good of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. For the good of this fellowship. For the good of God's people right across this world. It is all for our good. Man will mean it for evil. But let me tell you, God always means it for good. His thoughts towards you and his thoughts towards me are not evil. They're of peace and of hope. Trust in him and serve him and know that it is all for our good. And it is all because of but God. Your salvation, all of God. Your sanctification, all of God. Trust in him and him alone. And if you're an unbeliever tonight, in other words, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, I want to urge you finally, in the last seconds, tonight, you can have life eternal. You are currently spiritually dead, separated from the living God, but you can be reunited with him. You can be restored to him. You can be given life that is life eternal. If you only put your faith in him. In other words, turn to him in prayer and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Ask him to give you life. Put your trust in him and no other. And in the blink of an eye, he will save you. And you can know your sins forgiven. I trust that if that's the position you're in, you'll do that this very evening.